Quick ad. The audio here is brought to you free, funded by sponsors and Patreon. If you want to help keep this show on the road, get early access to ad-free audio and tons of bonus content, now is the time. Patreon.com/girlonthenet. Annual subs are 20% off till the end of January. And with a subscription, you can remove all on-site ads, including this one.
The Tentacles. Written and read by Molly Moore. Content warning. This story contains elements of non-consensual kidnap and dubious consent that turns into consensual non-consent. It contains fear and terror, creature-human sex, tentacles, and copious amounts of jizz. Why did I do it? Like so many things that we do on impulse, in a fit of madness, it seemed like a good idea at the time. Now, as he guided me into the cave, well, I was not so sure. On the beach, he'd seemed gentle, safe. I had been there taking pictures of the wreck. It was one of those autumn days made for a big jumper, and I had to tie my hair back to stop the wind from constantly grabbing at it and trying to wrap it round my face. The sky was filled with dark, moody clouds that felt like if you were just a little bit taller, you could reach up and touch them. He'd appeared out of nowhere. Well, obviously he had not, but I guess I had been absorbed in the wreck and taking pictures, so had not noticed him walk down the cliff or across the beach to me. One moment I was alone, and then the next time I looked up, I wasn't. He was tall, really tall. He was wearing jeans and a thick dark blue jumper, and on his face he had a beautiful, thick, full beard. In the diminishing light, there were moments when it almost seemed to sparkle, and I had to thrust my hands into my pocket to stop myself reaching out and touching it. He looked like the sea. That sounds silly, I know, but there was something about his blue eyes and tendrils of hair and that beard that made me think of a merman. I giggled at the thought, and he asked me what was funny. Nothing, just, I don't know, it doesn't matter. I waved my hand, trying to dismiss the thought away. He tilted his head to one side, appraising my answer, trying to decide if I was hiding something or telling the truth. In the end, he smiled back at me, and I felt something shift inside me in response. We ended up sitting on the shingle and talking. I don't know how long we sat there, but I told him about photography and hearing about the wreck and how places like this, the wind and the sky, made me feel alive. How I miss living near the sea, but came back all the time. He was easy to talk to. He told me about the caves at the end of the beach, how he came here often to explore them. Clearly, we both love the sea and the beach, and this slightly wild weather. He asked me if I wanted to see them. I turned to look at him. The sun, low in the sky, burst through the dark clouds for a moment and shone round his head like a halo. He looked magical, ethereal, and I felt that twist in my guts again. I looked into his eyes, searching for his truth. Something I saw there had me nodding my consent. Now, here I am, standing at the entrance to the cave, and I can feel his presence at my back. As he walked in behind me, his size blocking out some of the light, that is when I shivered, suddenly realising what I had done. I should have screamed, tried to push past him, my heart thumping in my chest, and I froze. His voice was deep and soft. "Let me," was all he said as he pressed himself against my back and wrapped one arm round my waist. I kicked out at him as he lifted me clean off my feet and started to walk into the deep depths of the cave, carrying me in front of him. As the darkness pulled us in, I felt his breath on my neck, and then he seemed to be everywhere, lifting me, turning me, pulling my arms wide and then my legs, and no matter how I twisted or moved or fought, he answered every single movement with his own until suddenly there was stillness, his and mine. The lights on the wall flickered into life slowly, illuminating the cave. I was laying on a large slab of cliff that appeared to have fallen from the ceiling above. My arms and legs were pinned out around me in a starfish shape, my clothes gone, torn from my body, and he stood at my feet, between my open thighs. As my eyes adjusted to the gloomy light, I peered into the shadow, straining to see him, to understand, to find reassurance in those eyes that before had looked like safety. But what I saw stilled my heart in my chest for a moment, and then, as it raced against my rib cage, my mouth open wide in a silent, terrified scream. His beard, that earlier had looked like shimmering thick hair, had turned into a withering mass of tentacles, some small and some wispy in nature, others long and thick, trailing down his body and across the slab I lay on, their powerful, suckered ends wrapped around my wrists and ankles, holding me spread-eagled in front of him. His eyes shone brightly amidst the mess of what had been his face, and another long, tentacled arm slithered its way up my body and laid over my open mouth, as if he was shushing me. "Please," I whimpered. Please let me go." His eyes watch me. He is silent, but I can tell he's trying to give me time to let me breathe and relax. "I can smell you." His voice is the same as before, deep and oddly gentle. "I can smell your desire and need, and yes, fear too. The fear is delicious. Are you sure you want to go?" I don't answer. Another tentacle emerges from his neck. I watch as it creeps across the stone, and then the tip finds the bud of my nipple and twists around it, soft at first, but then as my eyes dart back to his face, he watches me as it tightens, puckering the skin around my nipple as it twists and pulls. And then there are more tentacles on the other nipple, twisting and pulling, and across my neck. The one near my mouth twitches at my lips, parting them slightly, and on my thighs, across my belly. They are everywhere. He is everywhere. "Do you want to go?" he asks again. There's a pause. He waits. Those eyes watching me, and I truly believe if I say yes, he will let me. But then instantly I realise I don't want to say yes, let me go. I want to say no. Keep me here. Make me. Do it. "Do you want to go?" he repeats. And this time I shake my head no. His eyes glisten in response, and the whole seething mass of him seems to swell and undulate around me. It is terrifying and intoxicating, and I cry out as those opposing emotions fight within me, but then my cries turn to gasps and groans as my body reacts to him. Tentacles crawl up my thighs, teasing my cunt lips apart, sliding over my clit and dipping into my hole. Others slip between my buttocks, and I can feel them teasing at my arsehole. One slides under the arc of my back and lifts me slightly, seemingly opening me up more. There are tentacles on my neck and in my hair, moving, pulling, twisting. And then he is pushing into me, into my cunt and into my arse, into my mouth. Thick, powerful tentacles probing into every desperate, aching hole, stretching and filling me with all of him until I am utterly consumed by this creature. My orgasm roars through me. Instead of stopping, he continues on, his tentacles sliding in and out of my body, leaving me empty and hollow before slowly and purposefully filling me again, over and over. A relentless assault of his horrific form into mine, until finally I feel him swell and throb around me and inside me, and then his sticky jizz is spilling into my mouth and my cunt and my arse and across my stomach and in my hair, over my face, down my legs. The smell of him hot and salty fills my nostrils and tears bubble from my eyes and mixed with his seed. I'm completely destroyed and I have never felt more alive than in this moment. I must have passed out. My senses so overwhelmed by this creature that in the end, something in my brain said enough. I don't know how long for, but when I came to, I was alone. My clothes were neatly folded on the rock beside me, and clearly some attempt had been made to wipe some of the wetness from my body, but mostly it still clung to every inch of me. When I sat up, I realised there was a fairly big rock pool in the cave. Dipping a toe in, I discovered it was oddly warm. I washed the stickiness from my body, just enough to be able to get my clothes back on, but then I left my hair and face. I wasn't ready to leave this moment completely behind. As I left the cave, darkness surrounded the beach. The wreck loomed in the shadows, and I should have been scared. I should have run and never looked back. I should have been horrified by what just happened to me, disgusted with him and my own body. I should have raged at his taking of me. But instead, I walked calmly and slowly up the beach towards my car, the scent of him still in my hair and on my face. And I knew, without a doubt, that I would be back. If you enjoyed this story, you can find more of my work on mollysdailykiss.com and more audio porn on girlonthenet.com/audioporn.